Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Really, we are now at verse 17, but we'll just read those verses again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of His might. Not yours. Not yours. Not mine. Because our strength, it weakens at times, doesn't it? Our resolve sometimes can weaken. And so we have to rely upon the Lord, who is constant. He's always there. He said He'd never leave us, He'd never forsake us. And God is always moving forward and constant in the things and circumstances that are going on, because He knows the end result. Hallelujah. And then verse 11, He says, put on the full armour of God. Not just some of it, but all of it. Put on the full armour of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this wicked darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up the full armour of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Being able to resist. Resist. I went past a... I've not really had much chance to go into town. Obviously, the last 12 months being a bit of a no-no. And I went to sort of pick up some new glasses. And as it happened, I was going past what used to be the old Rothwell's fish shop. It's now become a delicatessen of Turkish delights, of sweetness. And I went past. And I saw it, and I went, oh. It reminded me of when I was in Turkey. So on the way back, I could not resist the temptation, and I gave in to it. Oh, it was delightful. You know, some temptations are absolutely wonderful. And this one was absolutely delightful, wasn't it, David? So a day or two... A day or two later, I was going past again, and I was actually on my way here, so I went and picked up some more, and I brought them in, and we had a bit of a sweet feast, didn't we, afterwards? Hallelujah. So, praise God. But the, you know, resist. Sometimes it's like, oh, you know. Did you hear that, Daniel? Resist. Hallelujah. Resist. Having done everything, resist and stand firm in that evil day. And having done everything, stand firm. Verse 14, stand firm therefore, having your loins girded about you with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, you have to do it. Yeah. The Lord does not do it for you. You know, some people make prayers and say, I'm waiting for God. No, God's waiting for you. God's waiting for you. God's done it all. He wants you now to respond and to move and to take action. And to, you know, the words of the Lord Jesus was, go out. He didn't say stay in. Go out. And we have to keep going out and preaching the gospel. We have to keep going out and sharing the good news with people. And we should be back on the street shortly, and we should be going around witnessing and sharing and just meeting people and praying for this. We need to be praying down the streets. Amen. We need to begin to start the battle again. Yeah. And begin to pray down the streets again. Yeah. Have your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, the world is crying out for peace. And Jesus said He is the Prince of Peace. Make sure you keep Jesus in that center. Yeah. And in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible. The good news. Hallelujah. And we stand on the promises, we stand on the Word of God. Although we may at times not fully understand it, we have to stand upon its promises.
Amen.
Yes?
Yes.
Amen. You believe it?
I do.
Good. You see, when you read this part of Scripture in Ephesians that Paul has written, we just basically have one offensive weapon. The sword.
Yes.
The Word of God. The Word of God. And we need to stand on that Word of God. We need to stand on the promises. Not always do we understand it.
No.
You see, faith is not understanding everything.
No.
Faith is trusting this Word, trusting that God never has lied and never will lie, and that God is faithful to His Word, and God will keep you, hallelujah, and bless you.
Amen.
And His eye will be upon you. But it's about keeping Jesus in the center of your life.
Yeah.
It is about making Him the center.
Yeah.
You'll not find Jesus out there in the clubs and the pubs and the gigs and everywhere.
No.
But you'll find Jesus is here.
Yes.
He's in my heart.
Yes.
And Jesus needs to be the first. You'll not find satisfaction in the pubs and the clubs.
No. Come home empty.
Yeah, you'll come home empty. Your wallet will be empty.
Yes.
I know when I worked in industry, some of the guys... I used to know one guy that worked in the factory that I was involved in. And this guy was only... He was this high. He could drink 15 to 20 pints a night. And I used to look at him. And honestly, it was nearly, you could nearly see it in his eyes swilling around. I used to think, how has he managed to drink all that? And still be sober. And his wallet was empty. And then when we went on, I mean, we worked 6.5 days a week, basically, that company for years. And then when we went on short time and we went on 5.5 days, there was absolute panic.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't survive.
Mm-hmm.
Just waste, and they had nothing to show for what they'd been earning all those years.
Yeah.
It had been wasted away.
Mm-hmm.
Poured in one end and poured out the other end. Forgive me, but that's what happens. And it only gives a short point and term of release and maybe some satisfaction. But you know, when you get filled with the Spirit of God, it's eternal. When we're filled with the Spirit and we begin to be full and overflowing, and the power of God flows through you. And guess what? It's free.
Woo-wee!
It's free. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. I just pray that, you know, each and every one of us will realize that to be loved in the world is not what Jesus was.
Amen.
To be accepted in the world is not what Jesus was. And if people don't like you or think you're a nutcase for going to church, or they think, whatever they think, that you've got a crutch, that's what it is to go to church, is a crutch, that's what they used to say. It's a crutch. It's for old women and old men. It's a crutch. Well, it's not been a crutch for me, it's been a life of excitement. It's been a life where I've been being fulfilled. It's been a life where I've gone to places I would have never imagined going to. And I've seen God's hand move in such a wonderful way. And I just want to say and recommend, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And let me tell you this, there is not a better way. There's not a better way than following Jesus. There's not a better way than staying close to Him. All the friends in the world. And you know, I read something the other day that as we travel through life, you know, we gather very, very few close friends. And I thought, what do you mean? And I began to think about it. And I thought, yeah. Probably only on one hand. But you know, there's one friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's the Lord Jesus. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. And the word says he'll never see his children begging bread. And we need to stand on that. We need to start acting upon that. And see God moving in power. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. This is what Paul says, this is our weaponry. This is what we use to defeat the devil. This is what we use to defeat the lies of the enemy. This is what we use to come through in total victory.
Amen.
Praise His wonderful name. And it's chapter 4 and it's verse 4. This is Jesus when He'd just been baptized of John and the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost came upon Him like a dove. And it says in verse 1 that He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Don't complain if you're being tempted.
No.
Jesus was.
Yeah.
And we're no different. Yeah. We're made in His image.
Yeah.
Jesus came through in victory.
He did.
So we can.
Yeah.
You might stumble. You might fall occasionally. But you can come through in victory. Hallelujah. And verse 4 said, the tempter comes to Him after he'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he says, and then he became hungry. Verse 3, and the tempter came and said to Him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Was the devil asking Him the question? If you are the Son of God? Or let me put it like this. The devil knows.
Yeah.
Since you are the Son of God,
yeah,
turn these stones into bread.
Yeah.
He knew who He was. He knew who He was. Since you are, not if you are, since you are the Son of God. That's what it really means in the Greek. Since you are the Son of God, let's see you turn these stones into bread. What does Jesus say? Verse 4. And verse 4 says this. But He, Jesus, answered and said, it is written. It's in the book. It's in the book. It's what God has said. It is written. This is what God has said. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, they've stopped me, haven't they now? that blocks me. You know. My legs are longer than yours. I can get over, don't you worry. Well, I'll walk around then, won't I? Praise God. Hallelujah. What's it say? What did I just read? Yeah.
It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every... You know, really what that means is when we're living in the realm of the supernatural of God,
yeah,
food is secondary.
It is.
Yeah.
Moses lived 40 days and 40 nights supernaturally. Elijah, Jesus. You know, when you get doing something for God, I mean, some of us came the other Wednesday night, some of us came absolutely whacked out. And, you know, and David, now when David's whacked out, when somebody gets preaching, his eyes drop, the shutters go down. He says he can still hear us, but he's not watching us, you see, at all. And that night, and this is his words to me, he said, I didn't feel tired at all. My eyes were open. I never switched off or anything like that. I was fully awake, yeah? And when we went home, we were all charged up.
We were.
We'd all been plugged into some supernatural power.
Yeah.
I don't think we went home while, what was it, 10 o'clock? We had to throw them out or something, I think. What time? 9:45. We were kicking them out of the church. Go on, go home, please. You know, hallelujah. We don't live just on the natural. We don't live in the natural, is what he's saying. We live in a supernatural presence. That's what we live in. That is the first thing that we learn to live in and to experience, is living in that supernatural presence of the Lord in our lives and just letting the Lord just flow through us and move through us. And so it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but upon every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. My question to you is, what is God saying? What is God saying? Read the Bible. By reading the Bible, you start being tuned in to the Spirit of God. You start being able to hear what God is saying, and you begin to hear His voice. You hear the voice in the book. Let's move to verse 7. Again, Satan comes to him in verse 6 and says, but it really means, since you are the Son of God. What? Oh, is yours the Message? Oh, well, the Message might have got it right this time, hasn't it? Since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, you see, the devil knows the Bible, right? He knows it. You see, the devil's not speaking lies when he's talking to Jesus. He's bringing truth to him. But what he's doing is he's twisting it. He's manipulating it. And some Christians do that, by the way. They manipulate, they twist the word of God so it helps them. Yeah, it suits them, you're right. Don't manipulate it. Stand on what it says to us.
Amen.
And he said, he will give his angels charge over concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, verse 7, unto him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You know, don't test God.
No.
Don't test God. Don't push him. Don't sort of say, I wonder how close I can get to the devil without him getting hold of me, you know. How far to the edge can I get without I get sucked in and fall off? The thing is, how far away can you move from the devil? How far away can you get from him?
Yeah.
Don't think that, you know, you can go to the devil's table and eat at his table and think, if I take a long spoon, he'll not be able to get hold of me. He'll grab you by the elbow, don't you worry. And so Jesus comes back at him with the truth of the Word of God. Don't test God. Don't push your luck, in other words, as we might say today. That's what the world would say. Don't push your luck. Well, don't try and push God. Don't put God in that situation. And then we move on to verse 10. Well, we'll read through it. And again it says in verse 8, and again the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, he's come to a point where he's not saying, since you're the Son of God, he's now acknowledged who Jesus is. But you bow down now and you can have all these things. Now the devil somehow has lost his marbles in this, because he doesn't realise that, well, Jesus has come back to take all that back off the devil anyway. You see, the devil had a right to say at that point in time, if you bow down to me, I can give you all of this. Because Adam surrendered his authority when he sinned. He gave the keys, and the devil took them, of this world. And Jesus came to die on that cross, to rise again on the third day, to take back the keys off the devil and to put them right back in the place of the second Adams. Hallelujah. The church. Amen. And so Jesus took the keys eventually and gave them to us. You know, we use that scripture where Matthew, he speaks in Matthew 16 and 18, give you the keys of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And we need to take those keys and we need to begin to move in God.
Amen.
And so in verse 10, then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.
Yeah.
You're not going to have another God. You're not going to have something else. You're not going to worship a Ferrari, Andrew. You're not going to worship whatever it is that you worship. This group, this football team, this racing car driver. These are all false idols. One God.
Amen.
Only him shall we worship.
Yeah.
And the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we use the Word of God, we use the Word of God as missiles to launch rockets of prayer against the devil. So when we begin to read the Word of God, when we begin to quote the Word of God, when we begin to declare the Word of God, we're speaking, and it goes out into the principalities and powers. It goes out into the atmosphere. It goes out into the heavenly realm. And we begin to declare war upon the heavenlies.
Amen.
And we begin to take our offensive attack out from within the church and we push forward.
Yeah.
Have you had that situation when you've been praying and you felt like heaven is just like brass? It needs some spiritual warfare. It needs some rockets to be launched. It needs the Word of God to be spoken, that it begins to penetrate through. Because when God hears His Word, it says His Word shall never, ever return to Him void.
Yeah.
It will always go out and it will always accomplish that which it has set out to do.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what it says, basically?
Yeah.
Paraphrase? That's what's going to happen. And so when you take the word of God and you speak out into your circumstances, into your situation, and begin to let the word of God work, and it pushes back the enemy. It pushes back and it works through, and it brings in victory upon victory upon victory. I have seen it in my own life. I have used the word of God. I have stood on the promises of the word of God. I've declared the word of God. And I said, devil, you're not taking this from us. You're not having this. This is ours.
Amen.
You know, and I don't care what it looks like. We win. And I'm declaring that I will not allow this. I'm not allowing it to happen. Because I know that Jesus has given us all power and all authority. The problem is we back off. We back off and we go back into the camp and say, oh, there's a Goliath out there. Somebody needs to fight him. Yeah, you do. And we do. And we need to push forward. But it's the word of God that does it. It's the word of God that brings us to that point of where we bring in the victory. This is where we bring in the kingdom of God. Don't let your unbelief stop the kingdom of God being established in your life. Don't let unbelief stop things happening. We stood, Grace and I, in a prophecy on a promise from God. And, you know, we'd had this more or less more than once. And we were standing and believing that God had a place for us.
Amen. Amen.
At one time in our early days, we were called the Church of the Rejects. That's okay. Jesus went out and said, go out into the highways and byways. And compel them rejects to come in. That my house will be filled.
Amen.
And there will be a banquet.
Amen. That's why you need the house.
And so we need to go out and compel. We need to pray people in. We need to start calling in names. You know, the seats that are empty. When you get up today, go to one of these seats and lay hands on it. And in the name of Jesus, declare and see somebody sitting in that seat and you praying for them.
Amen.
And that they are receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior. We've had many people come through promising this, promising that, and the devil's pulling them back and pulling them back at the moment. I've just had a message this afternoon from somebody who said, I'll be there on Sunday. Something's come up. Let me tell you this. Nothing is more important for me than being in the house of God.
Amen.
You might say, well, it's all right for you, Andrew. Well, for me, that's the way I live. Nothing is more important than being in the house of God and being with God's people. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Absolutely.
Love you, brother.
Love you, brother.
Absolutely. I tell you, when we gather on Mondays, and well, this week it's been all week, but we've gathered to work, when we've been gathering to work and that, it's been a great time of fellowship. You know, we've had church in a different way. We've had relationship, and it's just fantastic that these things can happen. And that you meet people and you connect with people who, outside, you might have never had anything to do with. But you know, when you come to Jesus, it's a level playing field. It's a level playing field. Hallelujah. One in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, you're all the same. Sinners saved by grace.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, there's none better than the other.
No.
Hallelujah. We're sinners saved by grace. And you know, we need to just keep pressing in and seeing God moving in power. Praise His wonderful name. You see, Jesus, when he spoke to the devil in Matthew chapter 4, He stopped him in his tracks. This far and no further.
Yeah.
That's what the word of God's done. This far, no further.
Yeah.
He says, when the devil had finished, he says, the angels came and ministered to Jesus. and strengthen him. And when you read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, when you read there, it says, "And Jesus came out of the wilderness, and he came out in the power of the Spirit." Glory to God. It excites me that, you see. Because I remember when I was in the Assemblies of God, they used to say, "Come and get baptized and speaking in tongues. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues." We were never told you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and in the power of the Spirit. You see, there's a difference. It's not just for speaking in tongues, which is great to do some spiritual warfare and pray when you don't know what to pray. But it is to be an empowering of the church.
Amen.
So the power of the Holy Spirit came to empower the church.
Yeah.
To enforce what Jesus had said.
Yeah.
And empower you and I to stand on the promises of God. And to declare the promises of God. When the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2 and came upon Peter, the guy who was afraid of a young teenage girl, saying, "You were with Jesus, you're part of his group, weren't you?" No. Well, words bigger than that, I think he used. More expressive than that. He blasphemed. And then he realized what he'd done, and the cock crowed. And Jesus looked at him. Jesus knew what was going on. And he looked at him. But he looked at him with love. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Some of us would have looked at him and thought, "For goodness sake." But he looked at him with love. And he reached out to him eventually. In that tremendous love. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." We don't walk, in verse 3 it says, "For we don't walk according to the flesh, nor do we war according to the flesh, but our weapons of warfare are not of the flesh. They are divinely powerful." They are spiritual powers that pull down strongholds. And that we stand in obedience to Christ, knowing that God will deal with everything and put it underneath his feet.
Yeah.
The Word of God gives faith. When we start to read the Word of God, we begin to realize that it builds our faith up. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling downcast, when you're struggling with things, read the Word of God. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord." You know, sometimes we struggle to find answers. Sometimes we struggle to find, how can we do this? How can we cope with this? And yet when we turn to the Word of God, it brings the answer. When we pray to the Lord, it brings the answer. And we receive the presence of God. We receive the peace of God into our lives. And it builds our faith. The Word of God is there to build our faith. It strengthens us. It encourages us. The Word of God brings health. It's a health-giving Word. Yeah? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 and 22. "The power of the Word, my son. Be attentive to my Word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." That means keep them in the midst of your mind. Keep the Word of God in your mind. Let that word begin to work. Let that word of God take preeminence. You know, because every hour, during the day, on the hour, you have the news. Yeah? On the radio. It's there. On the hour. Saying exactly the same thing. Well, they try to, and then sometimes you think, hang on, last time you said that, it were more than that or less than that. You know, they just, it's never quite bang on. We need to realize, and it's so much fear mongering. In fact, today, the other day I was watching something on TV, and the young people were saying, the media is bringing so much fear. Need to stop listening to it. The petrol shortage that we've just had, supposedly. The media hadn't said something. It wouldn't have happened. Because what? When the media said it, everybody panicked. Oh, I need to get some fuel. I need to make sure I've got my tank filled. So everybody panics. When we had a shortage of fuel before, they did exactly the same thing. The media set it off. Guess what? While God's in control, my God shall supply all our needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I told you the other week, I was in a car and it was running out of fuel. And I just, in the name of Jesus, I slapped this dash and said, in the name of Jesus, you go! And this engine kicked into life and the car set off up this hill. And it carried on and took me to my destination. I said, I don't believe that. Well, I'm telling you, it happened. Glory to God. I was furious. You know, sometimes we need to get mad. You know, we need to get, you know, you're not having this. I'm not putting up with this devil. You don't rule me or my circumstances or my situation. And I was not only was I fuming at the devil, but I was fuming at the guy driving and running the thing on fumes. And I'm just like, oh, I don't believe he's done it again. I honestly hit this dash with such a force. I don't know whether the force projected the car forward or not, but I hit it. Bang, in the name of Jesus, go! Pastor driving looked at me and went, oh. We arrived at the church. I got out and said nothing. I don't care whether it stopped at that point. I got to where I needed to be to get my car to go and pick my beloved wife up. Glory to God. I had a mission to fulfill. Collect my beloved. Hallelujah. I'm not into pushing cars. Glory to Jesus. Don't let the word of God depart from your mind. It says heart in the Bible, in many Bibles. But what that means, it doesn't mean the blood pump. No. You see, your blood pump don't think, does it? Just pumps blood. Thank God for it. Amen. But the heart of you, your very heart, your mind, your soul. Yeah. Put the word of God into your mind and your soul. Yeah. Wow. And let it be powerfully used. Yeah, let it be that weapon. Let it be that life-giving source, giving you health and strength. It says in that Proverbs 4:22, it says, keep them in the midst of your heart and your mind, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. That's what the Bible says about the Word of God. It's life-giving.
Yeah.
Don't get excited about it, you know. Praise God. It's life-giving. It's health-giving. If you're feeling sick, it's a health giver.
Yeah.
I mean, years ago I used to get flu. And, you know, I was one of them people that for 2 weeks, if you touched me, every bone, every muscle ached in my body from head to toe. And I remember one time I went to bed one night and I knew, I mean, it was regular with me. I knew I'd got flu coming on. And I went to bed early, which is unusual for me. And Grace said, "Would you like something to eat?" So I said, "Yeah, I'll have some bread, and I'll have some hot Ribena." And I took that and I said, "Lord, I'm declaring your word from Exodus 23:25. It says, I will bless your bread.
Yeah.
I will bless your water.
Yeah.
And I will take sickness from you." And I said, "Lord, that's what your word says." And I ate this bread and I drank this Ribena. And I said, "Lord, your word says you will bless my bread, bless my water, and you will take sickness from me." And I believed it. The next morning I woke up. And I woke up and I knew I had been in a battle that night. I felt like I'd been in a wrestling match most of the night. But I woke up totally healed.
Amen.
Never had flu since.
Praise God.
Never had flu since.
Yeah.
One time it did come at me, and I thought, and I was feeling a bit worn out and down. And I thought, I'll have a day in bed. You ever get them days when you think, you know, I just could manage a day in bed? And do you know something? When you've got a wife that believes in the power of the Word of God for healing, you know, you've got to wait while she's gone out before you decide you want to stay in bed and be sick and say nothing. When I said, I don't feel good, I think I'll stop in bed, she went out the bedroom. The next thing, she comes marching back in. She lays hands on me and prays over me. Fire and everything, you know, let's have it, you know, sort of thing. And walks out. And I'm laid there thinking, I don't feel any better. I can't, shall I stop? I thought, no, I've got to stand on that prayer. I got up and I was fine the rest of the day. So if you want a day in bed, don't tell Grace, you know, she's going to let you have it. Hallelujah. But that's the power of the Word. That's what the Word does. People, you know, I've heard people say, "Oh, so you believe the Word of God, that it'll heal people?" Yeah?
Yeah.
Of course I do. I've seen enough to believe it. I've experienced it for myself. Ah, well, it's all, you know, all them gifts were done away with. That was then for the apostles and prophets and that. No, it's not. The Word says, double portion.
Yeah.
The former rain, the latter rain. Come on, let's have it, Lord.
Yeah.
I don't believe we've had it yet.
No.
It's, you know, it's come on, Lord, bring it on. You've got to start getting ready. You have to. You've got to get ready and start preparing and believing for it.
That's right.
It's coming. Hallelujah! It's coming. Glory to God. Praise His wonderful name. How powerful is the Word of God? That's a good question, isn't it? How powerful is the Word of God? Are you going to believe it? Are you going to trust it? I'll tell you how powerful it is. It can take somebody who's on the journey to hell, and a miracle can happen in their lives and turn them around. It can take an alcoholic, it can take a drug addict, it can take a thief, a robber, a murderer, and it can turn them around and turn them back to God, giving them eternal life in the presence of our Heavenly Father. That's how powerful the Word of God is. That's how powerful it is. It's a miracle working Word of God. And we have to begin to put it into practice. The Word of life gives new birth. Hallelujah. Look at yourself in the mirror. Look what God did for you. Look at the person next to you. What God did for them. Hallelujah. 1 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 23 says, since you have been born again.
Yeah.
Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. Praise God. And that's through the Word of God living in you and I. Living in you and I. The Word gives light. Psalm 119 and verse 130 says, the entrance of your Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Hey, you don't need to have a degree to understand the Word of God. Praise His wonderful name. You don't need a degree to get saved. You don't need a degree to find God. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. And the Word gives food, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. Supernatural food, supernatural feeding. Hallelujah. The Word gives. The Word is a giving Word all the time. God's Word constantly is giving out to you and to me. It gives cleansing to each and every one of us. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 25 to 26. Ephesians chapter 5. It says there, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved you and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing with the Word. We're washed with the Word. This is not just something that we read and it's okay. It does something. The moment you begin to read it, it begins a process in your life. It begins a washing. It begins a cleansing. It begins an empowering. It begins a feeding to us. Some people say, well, I just read it once a week, you know. I read it when I come to church. You're on starvation.
Yeah.
You're worse than people who were in the prison of war camps in Belsen.
Yeah.
Spiritually, you're just a walking stick.
Yeah.
And you know, God wants you to be fat and flourishing. In God, like David. Hallelujah. The Word gives victory. Right? The Word gives victory. In Ephesians, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what it's there for. When Jesus was in the wilderness, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Word of God, because He was the Word of God, or is the Word of God, should I say, He defeated the temptations and the lies and the manipulations of the devils. The Bible tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. In other words, when you stand up and start to tell him off, he'll back off. I remember an instance. We had a friend who had a farm, and they used to have Jack Russells. And we were going, when I was at university, I'd get home from university on a Friday night and come home, and Grace and I would, I'd pick Grace up, and we'd go and see these friends. And I used to just sort of knock on his door and he'd just shout, come in, and I'd grab the door and walk straight in, you see. Well, this time I knocked on the door and went straight in, it was dark. And all of a sudden, this Jack Russell came towards me at neck-breaking speed. Teeth bared, absolutely going for it. What did I do? Did I run out and slam the door? No, I didn't. I went for the dog.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And I shouted louder than the dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I yelled at this dog. And this dog literally got within about 5 foot of me, man. Froze. Went quiet, turned round and went underneath the table from where it had come from, and didn't come out all night.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you talk to the devil.
Yeah.
That's how you talk to the devil.
You're in charge.
There's no authority on the earth. Oh, this carpet's good. That's how you talk to the devil. Don't tell the devil, will you please leave me alone? It ain't going to work. Jesus said, I give you authority.
That's it. I know who I am.
Devil, do you know who you're dealing with?
Yeah.
Hmm? Demons, do you know who you're dealing with?
Yeah.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Hmm?
God.
Child of the King.
Woo!
I'm one of his ambassadors.
Amen.
I'm anointed and appointed for victory.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Christ.
That's who we are. And we take this Word of God and we begin to use this Word of God with might and with power and bring it to a place where we put the devil to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. That everything that has a name will bow its knee to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be doing with our spiritual weaponry. The weaponry of the Word of God, the weaponry of prayer, speaking in tongues, doing warfare against the enemy, declaring and moving him. Out. Jesus, God said to Moses, said to Joshua, go in and possess the land. Drive them out. It's not changed. It's not changed. The church of Jesus Christ has got to drive them out. In other words, get people saved. Drive out the demonic forces. People say, oh, you don't believe in spirits, do you? Well, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Jesus believed in them.
He did.
And Jesus took his authority over them. But guess what? Nothing's changed.
Nope.
Until that great and final day when every knee will bow to the name of the Lord Jesus, and hell has been prepared for Satan and these demonic forces, and they shall be locked up for eternity. Hallelujah. Praise God. But in this time, take your authority. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take the helmet of salvation and begin to declare the Word of God. Praise God. You see, the Bible tells us that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But in John's Gospel, in 1 John and chapter 1 and verse 7, it tells us all sin is forgiven. And we walk in the light. Oh, hallelujah. We're people of the light. We're not people of darkness. So, you know, why do you want a church all blacked out? Is that so you can see everybody shining? Hmm? Hello?
No.
You know? I said, while I'm here, in this place, you will not get black walls.
No.
It's not happening. It will have to be over my dead body. You know? It's not happening. You know, God is light. God is light. So why do you want a church all blacked out? Is that so you can't see? You can't see anybody. Oh, so have you seen so-and-so? He's got their arms up in the air, you know, what have you. Oh, Jesus. Praise God. Even the little ones perfected praise there coming out. See, it's not about hiding your light, it's bringing your light out.
Yeah.
That chorus, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Praise God.
Yeah.
We've got to let it shine. We've got to shine for God. You know, and being depressed being oppressed by the devil does not let your light shine, because the word says you're more than a conqueror.
Yes.
You beat these things.
Yes.
You stand on the promise of the word. You stand on the truth of the word, and you declare the promise of the word, and you say to, and people say, how is it you can be so happy when there's this happening in your life and that happening in your life? You should be miserable and worried. And why? He's in control. He's in control. I remember when I gave up my job in industry and went full time working in ministry. Do you know what I was told? And this was from a minister. That's all your holidays abroad over and done with now. I said, oh. But do you know something? During that early period of time, not long afterwards, we started to travel, didn't we? We travelled, sometimes we flew 4 times a year to the States. Sometimes we flew for 50 quid.
Yeah.
I mean, so, wow. I did more miles than you can think about. And I used to chuckle at that one, you know. I never saw the guy again, actually, sadly, because I would have liked to have spoken to him, but I never really saw him again. But we travelled and travelled. We still travel.
Yeah.
And God, because God made a promise.
Yeah.
God said to me, I will keep you in that you are accustomed to, and even greater.
Amen.
Wow. You know, I mean, that was not just the cake, but that was the cherry on top of the cake. Glory. That with cream, by the way, David. Glory to God.
Ice cream.
Ah, ice cream, he says. And that's, you know, but, you know, when you're beating with the heart of God, when you're pushing with God, when you're going with God, God's promises are true. He will provide. Hallelujah. I told some of you how we ended up on a cruise one time. Grace decided, she's there again, you see. She decided she wanted to go on a cruise. Now, if she'd have said to me, shall we book a cruise? I'd have said, and where do you think the money's coming from? Right? Serious, because, I mean, at that point in time, we were on not a lot. And I was at the office, and about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Grace comes into the office. She should have been at work, but she had taken a late lunch break. She'd worked through and taken a late lunch break. She came to the office, and all of a sudden, the phone rings. I'm busy doing something. Somebody else, and there were 3 of us in the office, and we were all doing something at the time, so Grace grabs the phone. She knows not a lot about what we do at that point in time, did you? She grabs the phone and picks it up and answers it. And it's a friend of ours in America. And he starts telling to Grace about, he wants, him and his wife want to go on a cruise. Do we want to go with them?
Yes!
And so she listened to him, and then she says, well, you better talk to Andrew. So then I'm free, so she puts me on the phone. He starts talking about that he's got this cracking deal for this cruise. Do we want to go? And I said, and he says, did you say he bought the tickets for us? He said, I bought you the tickets. I've got this. But he says, it's a fantastic deal. Okay. So I said, okay. Well, we've got enough air miles to fly for free across to the States, as it happened, as well as. So I thought, yeah, we'll do this. Now, what had happened was that God had spoken to my friend in America and said, you need to pay for Grace and Andrew to go on a cruise. I think he sort of said to me, oh, it's only going to cost like $400 for this cruise. Right? And I thought, four, that's cheap. Thought, yeah, definitely, we'll go on that. And he said, God had spoken to him and said, I want you to buy tickets for Grace and Andrew to go on this cruise with you. So he said, to God, well, okay, God, I'll know it's you if when I ring, Grace picks up the telephone. Now, I've just told you she should not be in the office. She should be somewhere else. So she picks up the phone. So he's like,
I heard from God.
So when I only find this out when I get to the States and I look at the tickets and I open the tickets that he gives me and it's like, this is not $400. This was considerably more than. And I'm like, because I'm thinking, where am I going to get the rest from? I'm like thinking, what's this all about? And then he tells me the story that God has spoken to him. And then he said to God, well, if Grace answers the phone, I know it's you speaking to me. And that's exactly what happened. We had a lovely cruise. But you see, if she'd asked me, I said, forget it, love, it's not happening. So she went above me, head.
Amen.
She went to God.
Amen.
She went to God. She went above my head and went to God. She got the answer. See, just remember, ask God. You have not because you ask not, you see. And don't say, well, let me look at my wallet. God's not interested in what you've got in your wallet. God's interested in what you've got in your spiritual wallet. That's the difference, you see. And so we need to press in. The Word of God tells us not to worry. The Word of God tells us to fear not. The Word of God tells us that by His stripes we are healed. So don't be sick. Let's be healed. The Word of God tells us don't be afraid. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. You know? So we so easily get moved into the realm of fear. It just happened this week, you know. There's going to be a fuel shortage. I'm not going to have any fuel. You know? Straight away. Now we've got a few. Now we had a fuel shortage. Trust God. Believe God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first. He's the last. And everything else in between. Hallelujah. You know. And He's there for you and for me. And with the Word of God, we fight back against the enemy. We push him back. He's invaded God's territory. He's invaded what God created. Now we need to possess it back and push him out.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Declare this. Do it. Use the Word of God mightily. But begin to write some scriptures down. If you think, well, I don't know. Start just reading through it. Oh, wow, that scripture there, that speaks. Write them down and begin to declare them over your life, over your family's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let that Word of God begin to speak powerfully. Changing things, changing circumstances. You know, I spoke to you previously about Ephesians. I love Ephesians. Where it says here, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed Andrew with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it goes on, just as He chose Andrew in him before the foundations of the world, that Andrew should be holy and blameless before Him, God, in love. Can you see what I'm doing? You see, it actually says, just as He chose us. Who's us? Grace, Tom, David, Michelle. Put your name in. That's me. That's me. That's me He's talking about. And you can go through Ephesians chapter 1. And you can, every us you've got is you.
Yeah.
Put your name in.
Yeah.
In my Bible, I've highlighted every us in Ephesians.
Yeah.
You know, he has predestined Andrew to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. To the praise and the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon Andrew in the Beloved. And in him, Andrew has redemption through the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon Andrew. Hallelujah. I've been lavished upon. Yes. Glory to God. Have you?
Yes.
Glory to Jesus. Can you see what I'm doing with the word?
Yes.
Not, you know, it's personal. And when you begin to do that, it begins to lift your spirit, you know. It's like, oh, glory to God, now I'm ready. Knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, knowing that God loves you. You see, the devil will tell you so many times, you're not worthy. You're not worth anything. For what you've done in the past, do you think God can forgive you?
Yes,
he can. Yes, he has through to Christ Jesus. The moment that we become the disciples, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. We're set free. Hallelujah. We're loved. We're in the embrace of the Heavenly Father, the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of you and me. He knew you before he even put the foundations of the earth together. Wow. That blew my mind when that really hit me one day when I was preaching. Suddenly it hit me. Before the foundations of the world were created, put together, I was there. Oh, I'd already been planned.
Yeah.
Praise God. God has a destiny and a purpose for you. And today, if you haven't taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour, and I would recommend today that you give your life to Christ. You surrender everything you have to him. And in surrendering to him, you will gain such an abundance of life, such a blessing. Today, let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Amen. The Lord bless you. Well, I hope you've been blessed. That last bit that I said was for anybody that watches that doesn't know the Lord Jesus. To surrender to Christ. To give their life to him. And in doing so, they'll know peace. They'll know joy. As they call upon him. Hallelujah.